I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Regular contributor Alex Province of Hartford. And we have producer Lori Mack and Mike Urban, who is author of Lobster Shacks in paperback. This is a road trip guide to New England's best lobster joints. He's back on the show with us. Last time we had a, what do we have a ball with? I forget.
New England diner cookbooks. New England diners.
That's right. So this time we're doing the Lobster Shacks, and I can't wait to get at that and all these other lobster recipes we have. Plus, as promised, we asked Alex once again to give us his recipe for gazpacho, and Chris and I...
The best on earth.
It is, no kidding,
it's
the best.
No joke.
It really is the best on earth.
And it's so easy.
Yeah, and it's so well. You'll see. It's coming up.
How is that possible?
I can't wait to hear about it. One of the shacks that I have in the book has a lobster gazpacho, so I'll share that.
Okay. Well, I wonder if we should do that. Maybe we should do that, and then we'll just go all out lobsters. Let's do your gazpacho. And this is on the website right now, foodschmooze.org. SCH like school, MOO like cow, ZE. Foodschmooze.org. That's my little mnemonic. Sesame Street version. Okay, here we go. Chris, how many gallons of this have...
So last year, last summer, when he first turned me on to this gazpacho, I tasted it. I was like, this just can't be what he's saying it is, because it is so good, and yet it's so easy. So I switched my recipe at the restaurant to this recipe, and I sell, I don't even know, 5-6 gallons a week. I demo it at farmers markets. People are just like, I want more. Do you sell this? Can I take home a quart? I'm like, no, I'm just demonstrating. You can just have it. And it's just, you're just standing there with a blender and some raw vegetables.
Yeah, but it's the order and the flavor profile that he puts in. You have to see this recipe online right now at foodschmooze.org. Okay, Alex. So on the counter, lay out your stuff. What are the ingredients?
So everything's got to be super, super fresh. So go to the farmer's market, get the freshest tomatoes you can find, the most flavorful heirloom, the best cucumber, the best green pepper. Put the pepper up to your nose, and it should smell like a green pepper and, you know, garlic. And essentially, take your blender, and I put all my ingredients out on my wooden cutting board with my blender, and take your garlic, throw it in your blender, pulse it. Throw your seeded and peeled cucumber, chopped into manageable pieces, into your blender. Pulse it. Green pepper, chopped.
This is your blender, by the way, not your food
processor. Blender, not my Cuisinart, just regular blender. And throw it in, pulse it. Okay, now you take these beautiful heirloom tomatoes, quarter them, put, you know, a couple pieces in at a time. And the reason you have to follow the sequence is otherwise it won't spin and you'll end up over blending it. So just do it like I'm telling you. Okay, so.
Or what you see online.
Or I'll find you.
Yeah, don't disturb. He doesn't even want to
know.
I throw it all in a bucket and you hit it with an immersion blender. But don't
you
tell
have like
Alex.
Yours is like gasoline powered.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so now you add a little sea salt. And while the blender's going, you're going to just drizzle in really beautiful extra virgin olive oil. And don't be skimpy. You need, you know, substantial amount. And what's going to happen is it's going to go from red to like coral pink. Yeah. And all the olive oil emulsifies and it turns into this like frothy, gorgeous stuff. Now, add some sea salt and a couple tablespoons of red wine vinegar just to get the salinity right. If the tomatoes are sour, you need less. If they're sweeter, you need more vinegar to get the acidity right. Now, at this point, you can add a few ice cubes to the blender and you pour it in your bowl and it's ready to go. Or you can make it by the pitcher and keep it in your refrigerator.
Just eat it out of the
blender. Come home from work and then...
What do you mean, put it in your refrigerator? I've made this at home 3 times and I'm like Alex said last time. It's like I make a blender at home, right? And it's a couple servings. And there's no leftovers. Yeah, but
it's
there's no leftovers because you're like, oh, I'll put it away. And then you leave it on the counter and 10 minutes later, you're back at it with a spoon.
The acidity, it has like this addictive quality and you can just drink the whole thing. My mom calls it liquid health. And if you wanted to make it more complicated, if this is too simple for you, you can do it like my grandfather did, or my great uncles, you could do it in a big wooden bowl and do everything with like a, you know, by hand instead of using a blender if you want a challenge.
With a mallet, right?
A mortar and pestle.
Mortar and pestle,
giant immersion blender, 5 gallon bucket at a time.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, I have to.
You have to.
Because we make so much of it.
It's the fresh ingredients and the simplicity of it and the ratio.
It's the ratio. It's definitely the ratio.
And it's that flavor profile. It's the perfect tomato with that little bit of vinegar and a glug, glug, glug of olive oil.
You know,
but
there's something about this because I have had, how many thousands of bowls of gazpacho in my life. And I've just never had one like this. No. It's just amazing. Absolutely
I'm glad
amazing.
You like
and it's
it.
Too okay, easy. So easy.
Use a mortar and pestle if you want.
Okay, all right.
You want hard.
No, I don't want hard. It shouldn't be that easy.
We're going to hear from Mike, our special guest, about a lobster shack that puts lobster in its gazpacho. So I'm wondering, if you wanted to get a little protein into your gazpacho, you could put in a few chunks of lobster, or you could put in some cooked shrimp,
or scallops.
Couldn't you?
Or an egg. Sometimes you can do a hard-boiled egg, chop it up, put it on the top as a garnish.
In Spain, do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do they put any other protein in?
Well, shrimp would work.
Shrimp,
but the egg is a classic, sort of.
Really?
Yep.
I've never heard that before.
You
know, that's funny because what's that recipe? Shashuka? The one where you poach an egg in tomato sauce.
Oh, in the tomato sauce. Yeah, I just saw that online not too long ago.
Cross culture, tomato and eggs
you
go
cook
together.
You cook an egg in tomato sauce.
My mom did that too.
She did. Okay, see, it's so.
So she would tell you
it's
Spanish.
Right.
Yes.
So, okay.
It all comes around.
Well, that was really fun. All right. We're going to go wall-to-wall lobster now here on the show. But so online, the recipe, we're going to keep it there for the rest of the summer. You'll find it. You can just go in the search box. But go to foodschmooze.org.
Make it every day. Make it every week. Make it every week.
While the tomatoes are here and the vegetables are here, do it. I mean, it's so healthy.
Although, can I just tell you that I gave Alex a challenge during our winter months, if you missed that show. I'm sure you could type this in, too. And I said, okay, your challenge is, can you make a great gazpacho using canned tomatoes during the wintertime?
In March.
And you did it. It was amazing. Yeah, it was at the end of February,
early March.
You're right, early March. All right, here we go. We're going to go wall-to-wall lobsters here because we've invited Mike Urban to come back on the show with us. He has a book called Lobster Shacks, A Road Trip Guide to New England's Best Lobster Joints. And he had the most terrible task of just driving around from one place to the next trying all these lobster rolls.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe
sad summer.
One or two a day. That's difficult. Just – how did you do it?
It was difficult. There were a couple times when I did – reach my limit. I cannot.
Three, four, five.
Complain about this. But yes, after about two or three lobster rolls and maybe one lobster in a day, I might have gotten a little dizzy and had to pull over to the side of the road.
And I bet they expect you to finish that lobster roll, don't they?
Oh yes,
as
absolutely.
A sign of your
what you didn't like it?
Satisfaction.
No, this is my seventh lobster roll today.
That's right. Yes, you can keep them smiling, but have no pity for me. It was an absolutely wonderful research.
How far? What the types of lobster rolls? How much would you say? What's the breadth of our vision here?
Well, geographically and culturally speaking, in Connecticut here, we are known best for the warm buttered lobster roll. Mm. And that is the big one down around here. And there's a lot of places along the Connecticut shore that serve these up, a lot of restaurants as well. And this is sort of the ground zero for that particular style. Once you get into Rhode Island and Massachusetts further north, you get more of the cold lobster salad roll with the cold lobster meat mixed with the mayo. And having come from the Midwest here about 25 years ago and being in Connecticut, warm buttered lobster rolls was all I knew initially. But when I started researching this book and going around all these places in Massachusetts and Maine and dining on these cold lobster salad rolls.
Have we won
you
over?
They are really good. They are every bit as good as the hot buttered one. But there are all sorts of varieties in this stuff. The gazpacho place that you were talking about, Rye Harbor Lobster Pound in Rye Harbor, New Hampshire, they also have a lobster roll, warm buttered one up there, which is a little out of character, a little out of place there, but they put a little sherry in as well and mix it up. Which
oh,
is very
yeah.
Nice. So it's a nice warm butter sherry sauce.
You're a traditionalist, though, aren't you?
I
remember, I'm still getting over you yelled at me like 5 years ago because I put stuff in my lobster salad. It's not supposed to have stuff, Chris. It's just supposed to be lobster and mayonnaise.
What kind of stuff did you put in?
I think I put an onion in.
He doctored it.
Just
people
put
dice
stuff
up,
in it.
Yeah, they'll dice up celery, a little white pepper sometimes.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, Faith.
Well, there was some kind of spice in there, yeah. too.
He put I think yogurt I put Old Bay and in sour
it.
Cream.
Yeah, and I put Old Bay in it, too. Yeah,
well, people put paprika on there. I've seen all sorts of variations. Yeah,
but it was good. But you're a traditionalist. It was good. But I am, although I will put chopped chives in my lobster salad. You know, I mean, I'm not that's so going, crazy, that's, but it was special. No, but having said that, I have on the website right now, I brought back, I call it the outrageous guacamole and lobster and bacon club sandwich. It's just the craziest sandwich. And
I've had that from you. Yeah.
It's really fun. Really, really fun. And I some fancy food person was coming to my house and I didn't know what to make. And so I made this up on the spot. And we really had a good time. Anyway, that's on the website too. Okay, speaking of the cold lobster roll, just before we start getting into your list in detail, there is a place, Alex, your favorite place to go in Connecticut is for cold, right?
Yeah, well, I eat about 100 of these a summer, but I love Johnny Adds in Old Saybrook. So, sure. And I don't even, you know, they do cold and warm, but I like either. I guess
me
I
too.
Didn't realize I should have picked one or the other. I just,
yeah,
anytime there's a lobster roll in front of me, I eat it. Yeah. And so, you know.
But you have to be on one side of the fence or the other.
Why? I don't know. You shouldn't discriminate. Look, you should not be discriminatory in your lobster roll eating. Cold is fine. Warm is fine. Anywhere in between.
I've been yelled at for liking cold ones from the warm
ones.
Ridiculous. And it's just because
it's
people are
Red
such
Sox and Yankees.
Traditionalists.
But we sit outside on Boston Post Road and just eat these things up and, you know, like a bottle of white wine goes so well with it. Either,
one.
I mean, hot or cold.
They're known primarily for their warm roll, their hot roll up there, but they do have a cold roll as well. And what I've noticed in my research on this is that the warm roll is starting to bleed further and further north. There are places in Massachusetts and even in Maine that serve warm lobster rolls. But you
so
know,
where did the warm ones come from then?
It's Connecticut.
Okay,
they originally from a restaurant in Milford, they say, in the 1930s. Okay. A restaurateur decided just to warm up some lobster meat and put it on a bun and mix it with butter.
God
and
bless
that's where
him.
It got started, yes. Little did he know what he was doing.
And it's a special bun because I have a friend in Chicago that used to live here, and he can't get our lobster our hot dog roll.
The New England split.
Yeah, so I have to actually mail it, put it in bubble wrap and mail it to him.
Well, I went to New York. Yeah. I was on the east end of Long Island and in Orient, mm-hmm. and I'm walking up and down the aisles of – I must have driven to I don't know how many supermarkets saying, are you kidding? And everyone – I was with a bunch of people, and they were saying, oh, no, we'll just use these. I said, no.
Traditionalist.
You cannot do that. You have
sacrilege.
To just have a flat side where the butter goes because we're going to toast these with butter on them so they're golden brown. All right.
And it holds the lobster meat better too, right? Because it's not falling
better out presentation. The lobster meat is facing up. It's
and the balance, Mike, of the bread is not that bulbous side.
That's true.
The balance
right,
of the
yes,
bread with the lobster meat.
All
right. Here's
the
what we're
going to
do. We're going to start cruising.
Pick sides here and then come back. Yeah.
We're going to cruise shacks with you. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Faith Middleton, and I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouth-watering conversation and fun and lobster shacks here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. And thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, Alex Province, producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. And thank you, first and foremost, for listening. Mike Urban is here, author of this paperback, Lobster Shacks, A Road Trip Guide to New England's Best Lobster Joints. Okay, Mike, here's Chris. You were asking this question during the break about where the
line is between the...
Where's the cold lobster roll from,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, where does that start and where does the warm one end? And...
Well, the cold lobster roll is the original one. If you can believe what the people at Bailey's Lobster Pound in Scarborough, Maine say, they say they invented it in the 1920s. Not the split top roll, but just two pieces of Wonder Bread. You know, it was a lobsterman and his wife would make these lobster sandwiches for him. And that was a cold sandwich, eventually with a little mayo on it. And that's the way he liked it. Sometimes he liked it just plain, which is fine. But anyway, that's been the predominant version of the lobster roll.
On white bread?
Most of the rest of New England, except for Connecticut. But like I said, the warm roll is bleeding north and you're going to find it in a lot of places because it's so popular.
You are just giving me a thought.
Like faith is just the eye.
I saw a light bulb.
Yeah.
Now, I never thought about this, Mike. This is fantastic. I love the flat-sided roll because you can butter it, and then I either toast it in a toaster oven or in a stovetop in a little bit of butter until it gets golden brown. You've got that crunchy exterior
burnt
and then
butter,
the cold lobster meat inside for me because I love a cold lobster roll the most. But when you just described that bread, I thought that's more surface area.
To butter.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe what we do is toast.
You could do that.
Toast the butter the bread the way you would for a grilled cheese, at least my grilled cheese, and then you toast the slices of bread, and then you put the lobster meat in there and eat it as a sandwich. I'm going to try that this
Heaven. Yeah, or another alternative is, believe it or not, a hamburger bun. Another place, Yankee Magazine asked me to name the top 10 lobster rolls. And I named the Clam Shack in Kennebunkport, Maine, as having the top one. It's a wonderful lobster roll. He serves his on a hamburger. It's a cold roll. It's a cold roll. But he serves it on a hamburger bun that's made by a local bakery in Biddeford, Maine. Yeah, it's a soft bun, but it's a wonderful – and it has more surface area, like you say. So he toasts these things.
Inside.
He does it.
See, that's different.
It's buttery, and then you put this wonderful lobster meat in there that he has.
But it's not one of those hard rolls, is it?
No, it's a soft roll. It's not
very,
like a –
very soft.
Right.
Like the way a Pepperidge Farm roll would be, that soft?
Correct, yeah.
But you butter the inside, right?
With
the,
yes,
right?
Sure.
Not just the out – you don't butter the outside like on a hot dog roll. On the hamburger bun, you butter the inside.
You take the two halves and put it down on the griddle and boom.
Any more to butter?
And
did you warm butter in the middle of the
both
bread?
Sides. And it kind of warms
butter
the lobster
around,
a little.
360 butter.
That's just yummy.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, well, that's... Do you still feel the same about that they have the best?
Clam Shack, yes. And I've been going to all these places for a long time, you know, checking them out. And it's consistently the best one. He goes through a very meticulous method. He uses soft-shell lobsters only.
Ooh,
he takes every morning, of course, they fresh pick these things, which is very important. And they take each individual order, put it in a little plastic cup, which sounds a little hokey. And rather than refrigerating it, they put them in these big tubs with ice cubes. And they sit there just above, you know, like 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. And each order comes out special. It makes this huge difference in terms of the flavor of the meat. He has won in New York City, I think, two out of the last 3 years standing, the big lobster roll rumble that they have.
And it's a hot dog roll.
A hamburger roll.
A hamburger roll. Sorry, it's a hamburger roll. Wow,
and,
that's cool.
I would say, yes, he's still sort of head and shoulders by everybody else.
So the guy in Clinton...
That's mine. That's my favorite.
Yes.
Lobster
so,
landing.
That was also one of the top 10 in the Yankee.
Like,
that's a hot
because
right?
now I just want to... I'm mentioning him, Lobster Landing in
Bocce,
Clinton.
Bocce, yes.
Because he has that kind of nuanced feel about things, like you described your guy putting them in the paper cups and the glass and the ice bath and the whole thing, and his delicacy comes in with the butter, and he will only use a certain kind of butter, and the butter can't be just you can't just mix your lobster in with this hot butter. You have to do it this way first, and then it has to be drizzled on so that nothing. You know, I mean, he goes through this whole rigmarole.
You
can go in there. He has a little dilapidated shack down there in Clinton Harbor, and you can go in. The only thing going on in that shack is picking lobster. Yeah, he has a tent. That's where you dine outside in the tent or on that little shabby little deck that he has there.
Yeah.
But inside the shack, he's just got a couple of young
people. I hung out in there the last time I was there.
Yeah, picking the lobster meat, and that was it. Now, what he also does is he has kind of a crunchy roll. He uses sort of an Italian grinder roll. Which he toasts actually on just sort of your standard issue gas, you know, propane backyard barbecue grill, and he puts the warm buttered lobster meat in that, and it's a nice long roll.
And you know what's great about him? He also does a gluten-free roll for people who are gluten-free, which I think is great. When I go with friends who are gluten-free, they get that roll, and they're just so happy.
I was going to say, how much is sense of place? Because I wonder why – that's my favorite place, Lobster Landing, and it is – the lobster roll is amazing, and I can eat two, maybe even three sometimes, but a lot of times it's just sitting there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's
the seagulls
a good point.
Are squawking.
The shacks Linda, are always like,
yeah. No, it's all part of the summertime experience. Linda Juca, whom you probably know, the longtime Hartford Current food editor, she was interviewing me about the book a while back, and she was asking me about, she was saying that, you know, when she eats lobster, when she goes to a nice fancy restaurant, she's all dressed up, and, you know, they'll oftentimes have lobster on the menu. She doesn't really want to have lobster there because it's messy. She said, when I eat lobster, I want to be outside. I want to be at a picnic table with my family and friends on a summer day, tearing this thing apart, getting all messy with a bottle of wine or a glass of beer, and being dining in the rough. And that's really what this food is all about. You know, it's very seasonal. It's very tasty.
Wine's out of a plastic cup.
Yep,
absolutely
totally.
Right. That's it.
Now, of these lobster shacks in New England, if you come across any that are doing outside the box stuff with their lobster rolls, I mean, for instance, is anybody putting chorizo or bacon or whatever you might do?
Saffron.
Not so much so at the lobster shacks themselves. At restaurants, I think you find that a little more, you know, they get a little more experimental in the kitchen. But when people go to lobster shacks and dine in the rough, they usually want pretty much the straightforward thing. I mentioned that one place, the Rye Harbor Lobster Pound, where they do put a little sherry in with the butter and mix it up. Some places put a little paprika on there, but they tend to, you know, let the lobster speak for itself. And
it's
that's
like
often
Yankee,
the case.
Right? Yankee sort of
right,
simplicity.
Sort of right, yeah.
Here's a question I've always wanted to ask you, Mike. When I once went camping for a weekend, on a very rainy weekend in Maine, and at the, you know, there's always this little shack in the middle of the campground, and you can go in and get various little supplies. You can walk from
sundries,
candy bars. Yes,
exactly.
And
they had lobsters in there that, you know, from somebody's spot, you know, just down the road. It was $2, and they would hand you a lobster in a bag with, and then you buy a stick of butter, and I would carry this back. I had lobster for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. $2, you would
like
carry it
trip.
Back.
To me,
it was the most amazing thing. So
you cooked this lobster, or they had it cooked for you?
They steamed it for you, and then handed it to you in a brown
butter.
Paper
so all
bag.
All you had to do was crack it open and warm up your butter, and you were good to go.
That was it. So here's my question for you. Because lobsters are cheaper in Maine, when you go to their lobster shacks, are the lobsters, I mean, is there more meat in them than you would get in the other New England states?
Well, not necessarily. There's a difference between hard-shell lobster and soft-shell lobster. And what a hard-shell lobster is a more mature lobster within its shell. That is, it hasn't shed its shell recently. And so the meat is more densely packed inside there. Mm. Soft shells, which are more prevalent in the summertime, shortly after they shed their shells, you know, the lobster's still trying to fill it out. So there are two schools of thought. The hard-shell lobster, which costs more per pound, some people like that denser flavor of the hard shell, of the hard shell lobster meat. A lot of people, particularly lobster fishermen, like the soft shell ones better because they think it's a little sweeter, a little tastier,
yes.
A little finer.
Side of the fence.
And so, you know, it's all a matter of personal taste.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the main dividing line.
So not
line there
more
between
meat; it's the density of meat.
Density.
Correct.
The difference.
And it all depends on when the lobster comes out of the, you know, when they catch them.
I mean, I'm not saying, of course, in Connecticut we have lobster people,
and Rhode Island,
and Massachusetts, of course, New Hampshire.
Right.
But I just thought because the lobsters themselves were cheaper in Maine, I thought, well,
just because there's so many of them up there. You know, half my book covers, you know, lobster shacks in Maine. The other half is down here. And there are some great ones in southern New England, but, you know, that's where the lobsters are. Most of them are up in that direction.
They have the majority of them.
And to what extent are these lobster shacks around New England branching out into other things? If it's a restaurant, obviously there's a ton of things on the menu. But at the shacks themselves, what are they doing in addition? They always have something for
like
the non-lobster eater.
Yeah. Well, yes, they do. There are some very interesting side dishes. For example, the Guilford Lobster Pound, not too far from here in Guilford, Connecticut. Bart Mansey, he's an actual lobsterman, has his boat right up by the docks there. He does an excellent clear broth Rhode Island-style clam chowder. It's to die for, probably the best clear broth Rhode
Island-style
clam chowder I've had any place.
And what do I have this book, a book of yours open to right now?
To the recipe.
His recipe,
yeah. It's in the book, so yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love a clear broth, too, for clam chowder. So what does he do?
Well, it's sort of an Italian spin on it. He's got some olive oil in there, and he's got wonderful red potatoes. A lot of spices, too, I think. There's some
sage
dill in there.
Sage and dill and
parsley. And all this kind of stuff, which you don't normally find in a clam chowder recipe necessarily.
And he's using chopped quahogs.
Yes.
So there's larger, more orange, big, powerful flavor of those.
Right.
Red potatoes, lots of olive oil in his celery and onions. So some of the usual suspects, but really, really good, huh?
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. You know?
That's like one of those things, New England clam chowder and the Rhode Island clam chowder, right? I mean, you
find chowders
all
yes,
the way up and down the coast.
You got the Southern New England, Rhode Island style clear broth clam chowder. When you get up around Cape Cod and Boston, it's more of a thick, creamy clam chowder that most people identify. And then when you get up in the Maine, it's more milky. It's a little, it's still white, but it's
not thick.
And it's not as thick, which is kind of nice.
It's not gluey.
Yeah.
So he also makes at this Lobster Pound in Guilford these stuffies. And when I can find those that are
stuffed
good,
clams.
I am crazy, crazy for them. Oh, so tell me
about
those,
that's a great side dish as well. They're usually flavored with some sort of charisse sausage or something, a spicy sausage, Italian or Portuguese sausage, mixed together almost like, you know, bread stuffing like you would find in a turkey or something like that. But then you get a bunch of clams and you put it in there. You put it in a big quahog clam shell.
So he's got
bake it for a while.
He's got a
summer
friend, right,
food.
Who's Italian?
He has a friend, yes. In
makes
New Haven,
him in his
makes
kitchen.
Them, right.
Oh, okay.
Them.
So
his summer food.
Sort of a cottage industry, exactly.
But it's so cool how you mention, because the Portuguese influence, like in Stonington and different parts, and then the Italian-American influence,
Bedford.
And you mentioned sherry, Spanish sherry,
Provincial.
And you see all these sort of like ingredients going into this Yankee cuisine. It's
pretty
intriguing.
Like Middletown, Rhode Island, you know, not too far from, you know, Fall River, Massachusetts and all that. You have a Portuguese fish chowder up there that they do as a side dish, which is incredible. Mm. Very, very tasty.
Mm. Portuguese
so that's a fun trip, right, to a lobster. Take this book on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a lobster trail, right?
When I talk with this book, people in the audience, you know, at libraries that I speak at, they come up to me and they've checked these things off.
Oh, where have they been?
I only have three more to go. It's like,
wow. They should get something if they complete the lobster trail.
Yeah, you should punch a card.
Punch a card.
And then something happens.
I'll buy them a roll if they get the whole thing. Buy a second copy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What can we do? We have to dream up something for them for making it through.
You get a lobster suit.
Subscription to Weight Watchers.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. How about in terms of the side dishes? We know that people are grilling sausage and peppers. They're doing hamburgers and hot dogs for people who don't eat the lobster rolls, or they just want something different. But is anybody doing anything wild or particularly interesting for the sides?
Well, not that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, there are all these places, and it depends. Some are strictly lobster places, and they just have lobster, and that's pretty much it. Other places are combination lobster shacks and clam shacks, so they have a lot of interesting deep-fried foods.
There's like ice cream sometimes, I see.
Yeah, there's a lot of my ice cream stands there and, you know, all different kinds of things
all
going
summer,
on.
Right?
But,
all summer, right?
Yeah, most of these places are quite – the ones that I have in the book anyway are quite purist, you know, straightforward, you know, lobster operations. You know, they know this is what people are coming to them for. That's what they're, you know, aiming at, and that's what they're going for.
How about making them at home? Do you find people are actually doing lobster rolls at home, or is this something you go out to the shack for?
People do them at home, What's interesting, what I learned is that, you know, for every one whole lobster that these lobster shacks sell, they might sell 5 or 10 lobster rolls. For the obvious reason that people don't want to go through the hassle of tearing the lobster apart. You know, they just want to get to the good stuff right away. You can do the same thing at home. You know, you can buy a lobster and tear it apart yourself, which is what we do at our house. It's a lot of fun.
You could put one lobster on one roll.
It's about
or
1 pound
lobsters.
Or 1.25 pounds. That would be a heck of a large lobster roll. It would be fantastic. But, you know, you can do that. Yes.
Here's a place I want to talk with you about. It's called Chauncey Creek Lobster Pier. And this is in Kittery, Maine. Border town, a lot of people go to the outlet malls there. And this is a place where you sit at tables right on the creek, so you could probably lean over and touch that water. And they do raw bar, lobster rolls, and lobsters. And they just feed tons and tons of people.
Yeah, it's quite an operation. The creek is a bit of a misnomer. It's actually sort of a tidal inlet. So it rises and falls like 5 or 6 feet a couple of times a day. And it's this wonderful little pier just built along the side, of, you know, floating on top of this inlet there, and boats will pull up and tie up and be there. But it's just this great place where they're steaming, you know, boiling lobsters all day long. And they do have, like you say, a nice raw bar. And a few other places do have that option. But it's a real nice spot.
One of the reasons, besides the picturesque quality of this spot that I mentioned it, is when I first saw the sign from this place, I thought it said on it, lobster, it said lobster pier, and I thought it said lobster pies.
And, and I not thought, a bad idea.
There
are lobster pies.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. The main diner does a wonderful lobster pie.
I mean, at one of these shacks. Yeah. Yes. I'm talking about a shack doing this. Wouldn't you just order that?
Instead
I would.
Of like turkey pot pie or chicken pot pie,
lobster pie.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just a lobster meat, usually crushed up, you know, Ritz crackers, a lot of butter, and you bake it.
I think I've had that mostly at diners, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a New England diner.
I don't think I've ever had it.
Yeah. It's as good as the lobster roll in a different genre.
So what about this place called Two Lights Lobster Shack?
Lobster Shack's Two Lights is just south of Portland, Maine, and what it's best known for is its view. It's one of the places that's closest to the water, closest to the surf. You can get right out there. It's not too far from Portland Headlight. There are two actual lighthouses right nearby. One of them is no longer in operation. The other one has a mechanical light blinking on and off in the evening. It's just a beautiful place right down by the water just before you get to Portland. That's its biggest selling point. The food is perfectly fine. You know, they have great lobster rolls. They do deep-fried seafood as well. But you go for the view. That's what that's all about.
That sense of place.
And there's even like a foghorn, a Coast Guard foghorn right next to the property, literally like 15, 20 feet away from the last picnic table.
That's the ambiance.
You're there. You're by the ocean. You know, you can see boats coming in.
The idea here on the show so far has been, you know, it's a lobster roll, and who cares because this view is so special. Well, I care. It turns out that I am crushed if the lobster roll is just not up to par, and that happens sometimes. People think, oh, you just, you know, put the lobster salad in bread, and there you go. And I just, it's so disappointing. You know, you want to have that great lobster roll experience.
Yeah, and one of the key things is to make sure that it's fresh picked every day. And so if you ask any one question when you go up, say, do you fresh pick your lobster meat every day?
Did you find some that didn't?
They don't necessarily want to admit to it, but you can tell, you know, sometimes just from the taste, as you say, Faith, or you can just sort of tell from the operation that, you know, they're so big or they're just generating so much stuff. You don't see a place where they're doing it. Yeah,
I think that's the number one crime. The roll is wrong, or the mayonnaise is too thick, or it's too much
mayonnaise. Or the lobster's overdone.
I've had that a lot, too, where the lobster's overcooked.
Yeah, where it's
rubbery.
Chewy.
Well, a lot of these places where they're serving hundreds and hundreds, you know, up to 800, 1,000 a day, it's coming out on plastic trays, and it can be great. If you're lucky, but if your number's not called right at the exact moment, you know, your steamers can be a little rubbery, or your lobster is a little, your hot lobster roll is a little cool and maybe a little bit overcooked. You know, they're turning out so many for so many people.
Yeah, that's true. But Abbott's Lobster in the Rough here in eastern Connecticut, it's a big operation, and they're just churning this stuff out. And people complain about that place sometimes. I think it's very good.
Yeah,
it's one of my top choices and one of the top ones in Connecticut. But, you know, they do, I think, suffer from that mass production thing that you're referring to. You know, they're just constantly churning this stuff out, and they have, you know, a dozen or so teenagers working in the kitchen, and they're doing the best they can, but, you know, they have a huge demand, so they're doing the best they can to feed it.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk more lobster rolls with you and more lobster in general. We've got the outrageous lobster sandwich to tell you about, a lobster salad that is made Baja style, meaning it has jalapenos in it. So if we're ready to bring on the heat with the lobster, too. This is what I wanted to know, if any of the lobster shacks are doing anything that far out. All right, recipes on our website right now, foodschmooze.org. Please support your local food growers and food makers, and you can find everything we talk about online, foodschmooze.org. Please stay with us.
Kissing their hellos, and I pretend who had died while he was drinking. It was no one I had heard of, and I'm turning to the horoscope, looking for the funnies when I'm feeling someone's watching me. And so I raise my head back a bit.
Oh, I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you. We're all about the lobster today. Coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the east end of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. I was just thinking, lobster shacks are going to be overrun because of this show. I mean, I just am dying to have a lobster right now. We just had one, thanks to Chris Prosperi. Chris, thank you for buttering those flat-sided rolls the way you did. That was good.
Nice.
You poached those lobster pieces in butter before we had them.
I take a couple tablespoons of water and bring it up to a simmer and then whisk in just whole butter, like two sticks, and then I get that to 180 degrees so it stays, so it doesn't separate, and then I take my fresh-picked lobster meat and throw it in that and just take it off the heat, and then it just sort of steeps in there. Then you take that butter, that lobster-flavored butter, and you sort of spoon it on both sides of the roll and put it in a pan. Toast it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And then just a little crushed the fleur de sel, the sea salt, the thick stuff, a little bit of that on top, and that's it.
So there you go, the traditional hot lobster roll. Some people will squeeze a little lemon juice on there, as I do. Other people won't. They just want it just that way. We have our special guest, Mike Urban, here. He's author of Lobster Shacks in paperback. And so I want to tell you about a couple recipes we have posted on the website right now before we come back to talking more lobster in general. We have a recipe up for lobster salad. I found this a long time ago in the book that is called Mexico, a Cookbook. And what they do in that cookbook is focus on different regions of Mexico, in this case, on the border with Baja California, Mexico. And so there, the traditional lobster salad is got garlic in it and jalapeno and cooked peas and, of course, good quality mayonnaise, but Kalamata olives and chopped or shredded carrots, lettuce, pimentos, sea salt and pepper.
I like that.
And they make this lobster salad, and you can have it on, you know, you can have it in a roll if you want it, but it would be generally served either on a plate or with a little bit of lettuce alongside or some greens or something. And really fun.
That's
you know,
delicious.
If you want to do something a little bit different. Also posted on the website right now, foodschmooze.org, I brought back the lobster sandwich I was telling you about. What happened was that a man in the food world who was at Gourmet Magazine at the time, he was second in command there, was coming over, stopping by, he was staying nearby, and said, I can see you. And I said, oh, you have to come for lunch. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, here is the number two person at Gourmet.
What
in the world am I going to make for him for lunch? You know, it's really hot out, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And so I just made up something, and it was, I thought, you can't go wrong. Let me think of the things you can't go wrong with. And I thought, should I make guacamole and serve it to them? And then I thought, maybe I should do a BLT. Because who can not like a BLT? And then I was thinking, or lobster. Maybe I should do something with lobster. And then the light bulb, let's put them together. I'm going to, you know, see what happens. And so I made up a very, you'll see the recipe, but it's a very fresh lime-oriented guacamole. And I put cherry tomatoes halved inside that guacamole. And so very limey, lots of cilantro. So there's that. And then the regular Pepperidge Farm rolls with mayonnaise on them, got a couple of cooked lobsters and pulled the meat out. So cooked some bacon strips. So Boston lettuce goes down the guacamole, the bacon strips, and then the top roll. And in the guacamole, I had fresh corn. So what we had was,
nice.
You know, the corn and
summer.
Bacon and, everything, tomato, all about summer, all in that one sandwich.
Any Tabasco sauce?
No.
No.
And potato chips. Of course.
I love that idea. That's my favorite part of the sandwich. She takes potato chips and puts them on the sandwich.
Sometimes. Sometimes I do. But if you have lobster in my family, you must have potato chips.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's just absolutely a given. You must be on your plate. So anyway, it's all up there at foodschmooze.org.
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay, Mike Urban. So tell me about the lobster shacks that would be, I think of these, a trip to some of these as the little vacation when they're close to home, because it just feels good being at these shacks, even if it's a half hour from your house or an hour. But sometimes you want to go to one that's far, far away, and you want to be able to also sightsee in a place that's particularly beautiful. Where would you say that is?
Well,
New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island?
A number of places. Probably most of them would be in Maine. One place that comes to mind, one of my favorite lobster shacks of all time, is Five Islands Lobster in Georgetown, Maine. It's in mid-coast Maine, and if you're familiar with the geography around there, these are just fingers of land that go out into the Gulf of Maine. You drive down these things, you go through little funny little towns, fishing villages, artist communities, and stuff like this. And Five Islands is at the end of a road on a pier, a bunch of shabby little buildings down at the end there. There's an ice cream shop. They have a deep-fried building. They have a place where they boil their lobsters. Probably the best lobster I've had anywhere, anytime. Nice. It's right there down by the water. And it sits on these five islands you can see right off the shore there on Sheepscot Bay. And the lobster fishermen that service this place, the water there is deep, it's cold, and it's right offshore. So they're pulling these things in, and they're only a couple minutes away from the time they pull them out of the traps till the time it's at Five Islands Lobster. But it's just this gorgeous setting where you're looking out at this beautiful pine tree studded little islands out there with these kind of big fancy homes on them. It's what you think of coastal Maine as being
wow.
like.
Wow. Now, let's get at this, why that is the best whole lobster to you, because we've just discussed in this show other lobster shack people, including here in Connecticut, who are lobstermen, and they bring in the lobsters. They're pretty darn fresh. What is it about? So they're doing the same thing that this guy is doing.
I think it's just
family.
The fact that the water up there is colder, it's deeper. In Maine, they do a much better job of keeping their lobster numbers up, their stock up. If it's too small, you have to throw it back. If it's too large, you have to throw it back. You can still order and get a 8 or 10 or 12-pound lobster in Massachusetts or New Hampshire. They don't have them that big down here in Connecticut so much anymore. There's a die-off in the Long Island Sound. But they do a great job of just propagating this stuff and keeping it going. And it's just the water up there. It's just more lobster territory. Lobsters are more comfortable up there. They're more plentiful. And so your odds are much better of getting a better lobster.
They like the colder water.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And it's something about when they grow in that colder water, the meat is sweeter. It's more lush, it's not as tough. Even though we have good lobsters in Connecticut, I'm not saying we don't, but there's something about when you get it in Maine, and there's something about when you get it, like he just said, where they're a minute from the dock instead of an hour from the dock.
Yeah,
so basically they're pulling traps, they're taking them, putting them on the boat, and the boat goes right to the dock. And then what? Within an hour, they're on our hot dog roll. I mean, that's
real.
Like with
or
any
on the
kind
plate.
Of – yeah, like with anything, that's the – right?
True. So, and another place, that you go for scenic stuff is to go Acadia National Park. If you go up there to Mount Desert Island, there are about a half a dozen good lobster shacks up there. Abel's Lobster Pound is one in particular that's gorgeous. It's a very fancy, upscale kind of place, but it's on this beautiful fjord of water. There's big sailboats sitting out there in this nice little harbor. You're sitting there. It looks like a WPA, stone-constructed building from the 1930s.
Oh.
Just a gorgeous
location. What's that called
location.
Again?
Abel's, A-B-E-L, apostrophe S, Lobster Pound.
So you just
I've
need
never
a bed
been
spot.
To Acadia.
You need a nice bed and breakfast
a little
to
fancier
stay in,
than
right?
most of them. One time I was there, I was talking to the owners, and they were getting ready because part of the Rockefeller family was coming for dinner that night. So I thought, okay, well, this is a little highbrow for me. I better get out of here. But it was
good lobster roll.
Wonderful. Yeah. A wonderful lobster roll. Great whole lobster there. They have all these outdoor things where they cook the lobster out in a big fire-fed boiler.
What about lobster succotash? Have you seen that in places? Because I always wonder where that comes from.
Never.
And that's a
never.
New England thing, right? I mean,
succotash?
Yeah. No, lobster succotash.
I've never heard of it.
Neither have I.
It's beans, corn, and lobster.
Lima beans?
Lima beans, corn, and lobster.
That sounds like a real working man's dish. I mean, it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and I've had it at a few places, and it's one of those things I absolutely love. And I didn't know if it was New England or where it came from or how long it's been around. But
I grew up here, and I've never I know succotash.
But
can we have it next week?
Lobster succotash.
Yeah. Put that one on the menu. Try that.
I issue a challenge.
Oh, wow.
We hereby challenge Chris. My brother Stephen and I one late afternoon decided to sail to Menempsha on Martha's Vineyard. So we sailed from Madison all the way to Menempsha. Took us 24 hours through the night, and it was so windy. And I just have this like memory of my brother Stephen like surfing down these waves. We get into Menempsha and realize that there's no place to really dock the boat. It's like a working dock, and it's shallow water. Some really kind fisherman let us tie up on his boat, and then so we get in at noon. We go in and have this lobster roll right on the dock, a bottle of wine, and it was the best tasting lobster roll I've ever had in my life after having survived this near death experience of sailing.
Your taste buds were on
but
edge.
There was just
something so
special about it.
Yeah. Do you know where the lobster came from? Was it from that guy's boat?
Idea.
Was he a lobsterman, or was it?
Must have been. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the name of the place, but it was like right on the dock, and it was just the standard delicious. And we didn't realize Menempsha was a dry town either.
Oh.
Which you should
so we went into so that night for dinner we went into a restaurant and asked where the bar was, and everyone laughed at us. It was like, where's the basement in the Alamo?
There we go. All right. Back to the boat then, right?
Exactly.
Wow. That's fun. I have a dream about I would sometime like to have a lobster roll that is nothing but knuckle meat.
Ooh,
from the lobster.
There's a place
I love the knuckle.
So
that's
the knuckle's
very
sweeter,
interesting.
Or?
There's a place called Kobe's on Cape Cod where he serves nothing but knuckle meat in
Where on Cape
lobster
Cod?
Roll. Brewster.
No.
It's primarily
a
clam shack.
That's
the only lobster thing he serves is a Knuckles-only lobster roll.
He does?
Yeah. And Knuckles, as you know.
Kobe?
Yeah, explain
I know
the Knuckles thing.
It's hard to extract that meat. It's like a little, very small chunk. It's very tasty.
Yeah.
The joint hard to crack with your lobster cracker.
What makes it taste so good?
It's sweet. I don't know what beyond that would be going on in the
Probably because there's so much shell around it. It's very well protected, as opposed to the tail, which is more muscular and sort of
tail's
like
easy.
And the claws are big.
Best,
but it's just little chunks of meat. And
anyone,
it takes a lot to make a lobster roll.
Yes, it does. Anyone who's having a big lobster party and throwing out that part because it's too hard to get to, just call me and I will be over with my
I
bin.
Bet I do.
I certainly have been at a dinner party where there's no time to dig around.
Yeah.
Knuckles.
Scissors.
But I've been missing out.
Scissors.
The thing we
kitchen shears.
Yeah, get
that's
your
the
pinky.
Best way.
I take your pinky and poke
push
it in
there.
Yeah, push
there's
it out
ways.
As you can.
You make
suck
like
it
a
out.
Pinky ring.
Yeah.
Matthew and I at home always take the shells and make the best stock. The stock almost is as good as the meat.
Lobster.
Right? And then we freeze it for the winter. And
so you save the shells and then boil them with water and then freeze
as a stock.
That juice. And then if you're doing rice. Or
even
paella
with lobster stock is just the best
delicious.
Way to make
it costs a lot to buy lobster stock, and there it is. Right,
and people throw the shells away.
Some people don't. Some people will throw. I know a lot of fishermen who will throw the lobsters into a bag in the freezer continuously till they have a giant pot full,
Then
they make a giant pot of stock and then freeze multiple bags of it in the freezer so they can start pulling it out for all kinds of chowders and things. Hey, this has been a riot. I am so glad you did this book, Mike. And
thrilled
I'm sure all
here.
These Lobster Shack people are too, that you celebrated them. Because they just, I love that people have thought to do this. Just open, in terms of the rents that restaurants pay and all this stuff, at the time, these falling down little shacks on these places, and it turns out to be one of the best things that we've got. And I think it probably works for them as a business, too.
Absolutely. It's a seasonal business, but they're very passionate about it. The ones who do the best are the ones who are there 7 days a week from April through October, working away at it, and they do it out of love more than anything else.
And thanks to all those college kids, right?
Yeah,
who are
lobster
in there working.
All summer.
Yeah, lobster
picking the lobster meat.
And working those boats, too.
Right.
Hey, this was so fun. Thank you, Mike Urban, author of Lobster Shacks in Paperback, a road trip guide to New England's best lobster joints. Also, thanks to Alex Province and Chris Prosperi, Lori Mack. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online right now and anytime. You can find the recipes, food, products, restaurants, Value Wines, Easy Cocktails at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.